Now, sometimes words need exploring a little bit, and the word refugee is one of those. But some words have within them a clue about what they mean, don't they? We're very good in English with using words, sometimes forgetting what they mean. So breakfast literally means to break your overnight fast. Yeah, very, very simple. Or a motor car, we all know, is short for motorized carriage. Of course, because we're used to horse-drawn carriages originally, then we put motors on them, and they became motorized. So I want you to turn, in a moment, I'll give you another example first. Footpath is about a path you walk on your feet. Yeah? A cycle path is one you cycle on. And a bridle path is one you... No, that's not right, is it? A bridle path is one for... horses. You'll soon learn that I don't know a lot about horses, apart from they're like a car with a steering wheel that doesn't always work, which seems to me what happens whenever I've gone on horses. But the bridle is what's supposed to control the horse, a bridle way. So could you turn to someone next to you and try and think of some words that are obvious because of the way what they are. They tell you what they are by their very nature. And as a clue, if you ever watch any American movies, Americans are really good at this. So rather than a pavement, they need to know what to do on that piece of tarmac on the side of the road. So they call it a sidewalk. So that they think, yes, I must remember. I don't walk in the middle. I walk on the side. So can you think of any words, and we'll see what you come up with. Words that explain themselves in their own way. And if in doubt, choose a few American ones. Okay, right. Let's start with the young people first. Has any of you young people come up with a word that is self-explanatory? Right, I'm going to move over here so I can hear. Yes, what have you got? Trash can. Yeah, we call it a bin, but Americans clearly need to know what you put in the bin. Is it a bin for food or no, it's trash. Fantastic. So trash can. Any other ones the children have thought of that are words that are very clear? I'll come back to you in a second. Okay. No, I've got another one. Electric car. Yeah, it is a car, which of course is short for carriage, which is run by electricity. Brilliant. Okay, let's open it up to the adults. What other words do you know that are self-explanatory?
Laundry mat.
Yeah, it's a mat for the laundry, as opposed to a doormat, which is a mat for your door. No, that's not quite right, is it? But yeah, fantastic. Lawn mower, as opposed to a gravel mower, or a... Yeah, fantastic, yeah. Oh, there's one over here. Lamp post. It's a lamp on a post. Yeah, I never thought of that, but you're right, it is a lamp post. There was someone over here. Waterfall. Yeah, true, isn't it? Yeah, I stood on this beautiful waterfall. You don't want to do that under a rockfall. Very good. Yeah. Oh, great, some at the back, we're getting the idea. Weekend. Oh, of course. It's when the week ends. I never thought about that. Any more?
Zebra crossing.
Zebra crossing, where zebras cross. Yeah, a zebra crossing because it looks a zebra. A pelican crossing, who knows why. For pelicans, yeah. Very good. There's another one up here, fantastic. Washing machine, very good.
Toothbrush,
as opposed to a hairbrush or a shoe brush. Yeah, what do we got?
Toilet seat,
excellent choice. And actually, you could have said toilet brush. Oh, very good. We could go on like this for ages. My favourite American ones that I looked up were these ones. Eyeglasses. They don't call them spectacles, they call them eyeglasses. Just so you don't think, I put them on my knee and you can see properly. Or they also have a sidewalk we've had, trash can we had, flashlight. Yeah, instead of a torch. And my favourite, just so you know, it's cooked, they're not chips. They're fries. Just to remind you that they've been fried. Now, today's topic is refugees. And of course, the explanation of what a refugee is in the word. They're looking for refuge. Refuge is a place where you go to get away from a problem or danger. And actually, if you look at the Old Testament, and we'll look at the New Testament in a moment, there is a lot of talk and a lot of clearness that God wants all nations to know him. If you look at creation and the psalm we read earlier, there's that wonderful sense of God loves everyone. When Abraham was blessed, he was told to be a blessing to his family, yes, but also a blessing to all those around. Even in the Exodus narrative, which we very much think of as being about Israel, there is an interesting line we often miss. Let me read it to you from Exodus. This is Exodus 12. And this, after they gathered all their stuff together, the Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, beside women and children. And the bit we often forget, many other people went up with them, as well as livestock and flocks and herds. So even the Exodus story, and it says later in Exodus 12, how those other people can become part of the nation of Israel. Even in the Exodus story, there are people who are gathering from beyond Israel, from beyond what's there, from many other people. You also have quite a few references in the Old Testament to caring for refugees and people in need. And that story from Exodus 12 is why. Leviticus 19 says, when a foreigner resides with you in your land, you must not oppress them. You must treat the foreigner living among you as a native born and love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. Or Exodus 23, later on in Exodus. Do not oppress a foreign resident, since you yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, for you are foreigners in the land of Egypt. And they even in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, it sets out cities of refuge, places where people in trouble can go to feel safe. And so as we reflect on our role as Christians, as a church caring for refugees, clearly there is a lot of precedent in the Old Testament that encourages us to do so. David is going to come and bring us our reading for today.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. If you're trying to find it in the church Bible, that's 995. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill and go to visit you in prison? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Thank you, David. That's great. That is a passage that's a real reminder to us that what we do when we help those in need is actually we're helping Jesus. When we give food to those who are hungry, we are actually helping Jesus. And that's a really good reminder, or in a sense, of what Jesus' life was about. He was welcoming the stranger. He was meeting those in need. He would, I think, have a particular heart for those who are refugees, because he himself had been a refugee. You know your Christmas story, you'll know that his mum and dad and him as a baby had to flee to Egypt for safety. He knew what it was like to seek refuge somewhere else for fear of his life. And when you look at the New Testament church, you can see what a multicultural group it was. That divisions of ethnicity and nationality didn't matter. You look at Philip and the Ethiopian, Peter and Cornelius, Paul as he goes around various parts of the Roman world. But also you see in Revelation this beautiful image where all the nations are gathered together into the new holy city. It's very interesting when we're faced with massive need to think there is nothing we can do. And yet there is. And God calls us to follow his heart and to reflect on what can I do to help. That might be refugee centres in Cyprus. It might be supporting a food bank. It might be helping with debt advice. It might be knowing a neighbour or dropping around some food. It might be a number of myriad practical ways. But if we do, then we are feeding Jesus. We are visiting Jesus in prison. We are helping Jesus not to be thirsty. That's what he says. That our act of worship is not just singing in a church on Sunday. It's giving to the needy on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So I'd encourage you this week to reflect. Firstly on what God has given us. It's lovely to see these beautiful displays up on the wall. God has given us great things. But let us also remember that he has called us to give them away too.